This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half the price of big box stores. They've got big name brands like Apple, Dell, Hewlett Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, and more. And if you're a gamer or know someone who is, like my sons, Cooper is the best in the city at building and customizing a complete gaming system to fit your needs within your budget. So call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679. That's 360-9679. Or just stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah Office Park.
Join Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica this October 26th at the Spooktacular Party. Enjoy a DJ, dance floor, and costume contest with a chance to win $5,000 cash. Must be 21 or older. Other restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. As proud sponsors of our Memphis Tigers, we want to offer all our Tiger fans our $60 furnace tune-up or our $99 drain cleaning specials. Choate's is there for any of your HVAC, plumbing, air duct cleaning, whole home generator, or commercial needs. Call us at 901-347-8083. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Hey, I'm Archie at Pep Boys Service Tech. You know, wet leaves and slick roads can cause your tires to slip, so you need tread with good grip. Celebrate Fall Car Care Month at Pep Boys and get quality tires with good traction.
Now at Pep Boys, buy three Kumho KU22 tires, get the fourth free, and $50 back by manufacturer mail-in rebate. Plus, get a $50 Visa card by mail when you open a new Pep Boys credit card, now through October 20th. Four tire installation required. Credit card subject to credit approval. See restrictions at PepBoys.com.
Visit your Pep Boys service and tire center today.
Buckle up, Taste Buds. You're about to take an adventure of south of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishments. Celebrating 10 years in downtown Memphis in the main arts district, South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Happy hour featuring $2 off draft beer, wine, and specialty cocktail list, appetizers, and more. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale. Get started at South of Beale.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra. December 19th, FedEx Forum. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Another Beaver production.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Radio.com Cash Time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
That's right, it's time for the Radio.com Cash Contest for the 10 o'clock hour here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Text CHALK, C-H-A-L-K. Text CHALK, C-H-A-L-K, C-H-A-L-K to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. The cash code for this hour is CHALK. CHALK, CHALK, 72881. Your next chance to win is at 11 a.m. when John Mills will give you another Radio.com cash code right before the Jason and John show gets kicked off. One last time, text CHALK, CHALK, CHALK to 72881. 5 a.m., I beg your pardon, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Good luck.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We're going to get to Chris Harrington in a moment, but first, there is a little. Do we still do a breaking news sounder or anything like that? Do we do anything like that? Do we have a like a breaking news thing? Now there's a
give me
2 seconds to do
keep,
the breaking
keep
news.
Stalling,
thing.
Keep stalling.
Here at 92.9 FM ESPN, we try to keep you apprised of all of the breaking news, and when we do, we signal it with a da 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 da. Let's just forget it. What do you think, Jeffrey? You can break in with the breaking news sounder. The University of Memphis has been investigating the University of Memphis.
There we are. I'm sorry.
That's fine. There you go. Has been investigating the University of Memphis women's basketball team in response to allegations of mistreatment from the coaching staff, from Melissa McFerrin, and engaged the Pictor Group in order to undertake the investigation. And they have now released the results of that investigation. And the results seem to be that Melissa McFerrin will continue as the basketball coach at the University of Memphis with certain safeguards put in place in order to make sure that there's not a repetition of this, these issues. We're going to get to Chris here in just a minute, but I thought I'd give you a sense of the report very quickly. It says the following observations, university just released this. The following observations and recommendations regarding the University of Memphis women's basketball program have been compiled by the Pictor Group based on blah, 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 interviews, et cetera, et cetera. Here are concerns. Generally, there is a negative culture and atmosphere surrounding the program. A number of former student-athletes reported having a poor experience and that the head coach's communication style and approach was not conducive to team building and high performance. In addition, there has been a significant amount of turnover on the coaching staff in previous years, resulting in a lack of consistency in coaching support and teamwork. Lastly, some members of the support staff working with the program expressed concern about the communication with the head coach and her lack of respect for their role in the program. These concerns have been manifested in the following manner. A head coach's communication with student athletes. Style and tone are intense and demanding. Insensitive comments that were viewed as inappropriate and demeaning. Perceived favoritism towards certain players. Lack of open dialogue with the team as a whole, as well as one-on-one with individuals. Student athletes' commitment to the program. Lacking a clear understanding of training practice expectations, lack of open communication with the coaching staff and mutual respect, et cetera, et cetera. I can't read this whole thing, and honestly, this is breaking right now. It says, sharp divisions exist among staff as to whether the head coach is controlling and manipulative or simply demanding. That's not good.
Not really ringing
endorsement. Some say she's simply demanding and old school in her coaching style and approach. Equal division exists as to whether the head coach can change or is too set in her ways to do so. Conversely, several individuals indicated that some players were overly sensitive, too soft, and not willing to commit to the demands of a Division I program. Several members of the women's basketball staff and student athletes referenced a lack of cultural sensitivity and awareness by the head coach. This manifests itself in inappropriate comments that are perceived as being insensitive or racist, although there does not seem to be ill intent on behalf of the head coach. Several players commented on demeaning and personal comments during practice in front of other players and coaches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there you go. It goes on to indicate that, again, it's a 6-page report. I can't read the whole report. I think the story about, remember there was the story about the abortion that she, my understanding is that I don't have the exact wording here. It does indicate that she did discuss that with a player, the timing of abortion relative to games and et cetera. There are recommendations going forward. Must meet weekly with the athletic senior athletic administrator overseeing the program, et cetera. And so there are various things going forward. This is not surprising to me. Is it surprising to you? It's pretty clear all along.
No.
If they were going to get rid of her.
Didn't we also get the news, I think it was sometime last week, that though they didn't have the final report, they'd been given kind of like an oral summary of what they had found?
My sense is that they had. Listen, she wouldn't have been coaching. She wouldn't have been at Memphis Madness if she had been she'd been on the way out. And so it seems to me that we knew she wasn't going to be on the way out. I think she's got 2 years left, maybe, on her deal, and there you go. That will be it going forward. It's obviously, I'm glad the strictures have been put in place. But in terms of being surprised that she's being retained, I'm not surprised at all. If she wasn't being retained, she wouldn't have been put out at Memphis Madness in order to talk about her program, et cetera. Anyway, we will shortly have the story up at the Daily Memphian, and I will tweet it out when it is up. And that's that. Should we get Chris Harrington now?
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas, White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Well, it's 11:15 and you're sleeping on the bedroom floor. I can see the fire burning right behind your eyes.
We did.
We did it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of flummoxed.
We're at a report.
Chris, what are we listening to? You must
have swallowed. Daddy's Little Pumpkin by John Prine, which has a verse about Memphis. And he turns one of the greatest living songwriters America has. He turns 73 years old today.
Well, there you go. You have a piece up as you continue your Grizzlies roster preview. I have tweeted it out on Brandon Clark and Bruno Caboclo and how they might fit into things here. Who do you think more minutes this year?
I'm going to, in preseason it's been Bruno, and I want to say I don't think I put this on the column, but I looked at it, just look at the preseason stats. In two games, I think it's 51 minutes to, 34, I think, in Bruno's favor. I don't think that'll be the case in the regular season. My guess is that if we're doing a pecking order, Brandon Clark would be a little bit ahead of Bruno ultimately. But I do think, and this I get to this in the last section of the column, if they stagger Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. at the center minutes, and then I do think that Bruno might fit better with Jonas in tandem, and Clark might fit better with Jaren Jackson. And so it might be more like who fits with what combination rather than who is ahead of who in a general pecking order might really be the determinative.
What have you observed so far, I guess, is what I would say.
Well, just think it's interesting that they're both on the same team because – in some ways, they're extremely similar. They both came from sort of unconventional backgrounds to get to the NBA. Bruno Caboclo was drafted as a teenager playing lower-level ball in Brazil years before he was ready. And he had his sort of circuitous route is pretty well known. Brandon Clark's a guy who, I think he had one D1 scholarship offer, and that was to San Jose State. Ended up transferring to Gonzaga and completely remaking his jump shot, which was broken. Still not good, but it was totally broken to San Jose State. And then ends up finally getting into the league at age 23, a pretty old rookie. They're both on the small side to be big, quote-unquote big, 6'8 and 6'9. And they both have this sort of extreme physical attributes, different physical attributes, but sort of extreme, on the extreme end. Brandon Clark, in terms of the springiness and quickness and how quickly he gets off the floor. And with Bruno, it's his length. It's a 7'7 wingspan, which is supernatural, right? And so they're really similar players in a lot of ways, and they end up in this sort of same roster. And so to me, the big questions are, are they going to pan out? Can you make them work as bigs at their size? And if they can they coexist in the rotation? And I think that's, in this sort of laboratory of a Grizzly season, that's one of the little science projects going on, one of the burners in the background, basically. So we'll see where it goes. I'd be more optimistic for lots of reasons on I like them both, but I'd be more optimistic about Brandon Clark than Bruno Caboclo.
It's interesting because you historically have sounded, but it's, I think this is only relative to expectations. Brandon,
right.
You've been more conservative on Brandon Clarke and more bullish on Bruno Caboclo relative to what other people think of them. But relative to each other, you're more bullish on Brandon Clarke?
Yeah, I think all of that is correct, yes. I think that there's an extreme edge of sort of Brandon Clarke fans, and I am not part of that sort of vanguard that thinks he should have been a top five pick, and he's the next Draymond Green. Like, I've never gone that far. And with Bruno, there's, for good reasons, there's been a lot of doubt that he's even a player at all. He's sort of like, a punchline or whatever. And I think Bruno is very intriguing as a guy who's going to be a real rotation player in the NBA. But I think when you compare them to each other, I do think Brandon Clarke is a safer bet.
All right. It's I yesterday asked that they're both these skinny athletic guys, basically, right? And I sort of made the on our podcast. I asked if like Hakeem Warwick. You don't believe that? Is there any example? What's his name? Who the Grizzlies acquired in the deal? Who did Lion Hollins? He walked in and said, "Man, you're short." Who was that?
Ed Davis.
Yes, Ed Davis. Is there some Ed? Thank you. I was having a brain cramp there. Is there Ed Davis in either? I'm just thinking of skinny athletic guys who've played for the Grizzlies before.
Ed Davis is probably a better comp for Brandon Clarke than Hakeem Warwick is. I think Brandon Clarke is a good rebounder like Ed Davis was and Hakeem Warwick was not. I think he's physically strong like Ed Davis was and Hakeem Warwick was not. He's got his bounce is a little bit more Hakeem Warwick style. But I think the thing that Brandon Clarke has that neither of those guys had is defensive versatility, at least in theory. We're sort of seeing it in practice. His greatest attribute is going to be, if he pans out, as a guy who can guard not everybody in the league, but can probably ably guard more individual players and a wider range of individual players than most people in the NBA. Like a guy who can, to some degree, guard 1 through 5. Like not the extreme end of the 1 through 5, not necessarily Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid, but can guard various people 1 through 5. That will be, if Brandon Clarke hangs out, it's because it's that. It's because he is an all-NBA caliber defender who can guard across multiple positions.
And what can Bruno Caboclo guard?
Bruno is sort of like, to me, defensively, Bruno is a little like Kyle Anderson, except he's not, his focus wavers, and that he's so long, he can play off of shooters and, like, contain drives and still contest. And so whether that's a bigger wing or a stretch four, he doesn't have the lateral quickness, but his arms are just so long. And so he can play off of guys and still bother their shots. To me, that gives him a lot of defensive value. And then while I think he can get overpowered one-on-one in the paint, he's a good weak side shot blocker. So he's a guy who I think, as long as he's focused, can play good plus defense against bigger perimeter players and also can protect the rim as sort of a weak side shot blocker. I mean, the question with Bruno partly is quickness, but it's really those mental quickness. It's that consistent awareness is really the biggest question with him.
One of the things we talked about on our podcast, I urge people to go listen to it over at wherever you listen to your podcasts, is the Grayson Allen emergence sort of shines a light on the Mike Conley trade. It was part of the Mike Conley trade. Refamiliarize me. What exactly did the Grizzlies get in the Mike Conley trade?
So they got two first-round picks, one of which became Brandon Clarke, and one of them is still out there to be used in the future. They got Jay Crowder, who is on this team now as a starter and veteran role player and potential trade chip down the line. They got Kyle Korver, whose partially guaranteed contract was the main thing the Grizzlies used in order to get D'Anthony Melton in a couple future seconds. They got a $17 million trade exception, which they used to take on Andre Iguodala and the first-round draft pick, and then we'll add more stuff when they trade Andre Iguodala. And they got Grayson Allen. It looks like he might be pretty good. It's quite the haul.
That I didn't even count it there. But so there's the two first-round draft picks that they got. There is the let's just say you can flip Jay Crowder for a second. Okay? So then
right.
That's there's the other first-round pick that they got in the Andre Iguodala deal. So that's three first-round draft picks already, right? The three first-round draft picks that came with Andre Iguodala. So three first-round draft picks. There's 2 seconds along with DeAndre with Melton, right?
Yeah, one of those seconds is conditional. You may or may not get it, but yeah.
Right. If you can get another second for Jay Crowder, you get – so three firsts, 3 seconds maybe. Three firsts, 3 seconds, Grayson Allen, whatever –
DeAnthony Melton,
and whatever –
and whatever you still you get when you trade Andre Iguodala.
And, yeah, and one of the first was – one of the three firsts was Brandon Clarke already, right? Yeah. That is a heck of a haul.
Yeah, it really is. No, it really they did the work they did on that trade, and then to keep building on the assets they got in that trade, which is still an ongoing process. That really is like that will be. I mean, it's two things: it's the luck of getting the second pick, but it's also that all everything that's coming out of that is sort of the foundation of this rebuild and why this rebuild. It may not show in the one loss record this season. But why this rebuild is off to such a good start.
Right. And it's not what New Orleans got for Anthony Davis, people didn't think you could trade. There were people who were arguing it was just he's got a big contract. Who wants to take on that contract? Like basically, come on, Memphis, don't be unreasonable. There was a lot of that. Sort of even you heard that sort of around the league. So to get that kind of haul, I mean it's you look at the it's different than the POW trade, obviously, going forward. But the POW trade is what rebuilt the last Grizzlies playoff team. And this is going to be a big part of building this playoff team. All right, finally, you got the NBA. I asked you about it before, but it continues to – this controversy continues to progress with lots of people yelling about it. The NBA in China. And they played today and were agreed to play even though but agreed to not have the commissioner or the players talk, which is sort of a bad look, being silencing the players.
Most of these players don't want to talk about this. And honestly, most players probably don't feel like they know enough about it to talk about it. I barely feel like I know enough about it to talk about it. So the idea that NBA players like don't have smart things to say about the Hong Kong China relationship, like to me, it's like not, it's not surprising or an issue to me, honestly.
Yeah, but come on, let's at least acknowledge that the silence around this is not just based on I'm not fully informed. It's based on the NBA doesn't want to talk about it because there's lots of money at stake. But I mean, we do have to at least acknowledge that, right?
No, that's true. But it also is also probably true in 99% of individual people's faces that they are not well informed about it. This is not racism in America, police brutality in America. What percentage of people in the country, period, do you think have a conversational sense of what the Hong Kong China relationship is?
Less than one.
Far less than one.
Right.
Like 0.1%.
Yes,
maybe.
Right. Yes, right. Yes, exactly right. And no, and they do have – I said this before. Listen, I think the NBA is – I think it's pretty disgraceful the way they've acted. I think they should have just yanked out and come home. They. It's not like they're going to be poor. If they will be poorer, but this is what corporations do. Though their corporations make money. That's what they're put on the earth to do, and that's why the Citizens United case is ridiculous. Is because this is what they are supposed to do. So I think the NBA has been embarrassing here. I also think that a good number of the people who are criticizing the NBA. Just want players to shut up about everything. And I don't believe that if LeBron James doesn't have something to say about China, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have something to say about being black in America. And if Steve Kerr doesn't have something to say about China, it doesn't mean he doesn't have something to say about guns when his own father was gunned down. Like, people can talk about their experiences, things they've actually experienced.
This is my point. I mean, go to these practices this afternoon. Should I walk up? And I know this pertains to the NBA now, so it's an NBA topic, but it's also just a geopolitical topic. So, like, let's say I walk up to John Morant and I say, what do you think about the situation of the Kurds in Syria? Like, should I expect him to understand that?
I think he'd probably say, like, it's disgraceful that Donald Trump has pulled out of and after the way that we enlisted the Kurds to fight ISIS, to abandon them at this time of need so they can be slaughtered is what are we trying to alienate all our allies? I'm just quoting Ja here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't, To me, the question from a league perspective is different from a question for an individual player perspective. And the idea of individual players or coaches being selective in the social issues, political issues they talk about and don't talk about, I think we're all selective in the social and political issues we do and don't talk about.
The difficult part is that this also aligns, the selectivity also does align with financial interest on part of certainly some of these players, right? So that's what obviously makes the window for people who don't want players to say anything about anything be able to glory in this moment here. Thank you, Chris. Sorry we're late to get to you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right.
That is Chris Harrington. When we come back, Steve White is going to join us. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Radio.com Cash is coming up at 11 a.m. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
Until she went to Triumph Bank the other day, Naya had never set foot in a bank. Naya just graduated from Freedom Prep. She's been a big part of the inner city rugby program. Naya started making a little money from her job at Girls Inc., but she didn't even have a checking account. And that's where Triumph Bank stepped in to help. They set Naya up with a checking account and her very first debit card. They showed Naya how easy it is to do their online banking with their mobile app. Not only that, the folks at Triumph decided to work with inner city rugby to teach more young people like Naya about financial literacy so they can feel more confident and can start to build brighter financial futures for themselves. Naya is the first of dozens in the program who will benefit from Triumph's personal touch. You can benefit too, of course. Triumph offers that same personal touch to everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
It's back, the Carhartt Crazy Sale at Frontier Western Store in Olive Branch. Visit Frontier this month for huge markdowns on clearance Carhartt items. The latest fall line just launched and Frontier is fully stocked. We've got jeans, shirts, bib overalls, jackets, coats, gloves, belts, boots, and more. And to make room for all the new items, we've discounted a number of short sleeve plaids and t-shirts. Save up to 50%. All Carhartt jeans are now $5 off. This is the last jean sale of the year, so stock up now for yourself or for someone else for the upcoming holidays. Christmas will be here before you know it, so you might as well save some cash now on what you know you'll need. Also this month, we are including a buy one, get one half price sale on all novelty t-shirts by Simply Southern, Girly Girl, Live Oak, and more. It's the Carhartt Crazy Sale and more at Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment. Hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you with the after-sales support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to 920machine.com and we'll send you a catalog, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. Because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. Get the Machine Lover's Dream Catalog free by calling 920-MACHINE or go to 920machine.com. Get your free catalog while they last at 920-MACHINE.com.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hey, you're that famous actress. You must travel so much. What's the best site for hotel deals?
Hilton.com.
No. One with crazy savings.
Hilton.com. With their price match guarantee, if you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off.
No, one with lots of options.
Hilton.com has 16 top hotel brands. Hampton, Hilton Garden Inn, Waldorf Astoria.
Hilton.com. You should totally do their commercials.
Expect better. Expect Hilton.
You're good.
I know. Thank you.
Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show. The story on the U.S. on the report on the women's basketball program is up at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, underscore Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Again, they found some cultural challenges within the program and have put up some guardrails going forward. Melissa McFerrin will remain as coach of the women's basketball team. Joined now by Steve White. Steve White writes for SB Nation, of course. Went to Westwood High School here in Memphis, Tennessee. Went on to play for the Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Knights now for SB Nation. You should follow him on Twitter at SGW94. He joins me now. Steve, what did you think of Richard Sherman lying about not having his hand shaken by Baker Mayfield?
That was really bizarre to me. I'm not really sure what motivated him to do that. Maybe, you know, the perception thing, like he was so psyched out before the game that in his head he really thought it happened that way. But it just was a really weird story from the get-go. Like, I've never really known anybody get that, you know, upset about shaking hands before a game anyway. And then he makes this huge deal out of it. Of course, it gets picked up on sports radio talk and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, the video comes out, and he obviously shook his hand.
Bizarre.
So, and it seemed like they were having a conversation. So it was just bizarre. He finally did come out and give a little bit more of a sincere apology. At first, he just kind of brushed it off like it was no big deal. And, you know, he created this firestorm. You know, people are killing Baker Mayfield. They're already, you know, saying that he's terrible and, you know, he's playing bad. And then you give him more fuel to the fire. It is a really weird story.
I'm interested in speaking of handshakes. So when a game's over, the players go and they shake hands, team players from the other team, et cetera. What do you feel? Let's win or lose. What are you feeling in that moment? Who did you used to go shake hands with? Like, what after a game is over? What did you do?
I went in the locker room.
Did you like, not go shake hands with?
I mean, it's not like little league where you line up and shake hands.
No, I know that, but you know, they wander around and they go. If you have a friend on the
you know if it was some guys that I played with or something, like say for instance, at college teammates.
Yeah.
Sometimes we would meet up after the game and, you know, maybe take some pictures, somebody take pictures or something like that. Or, you know, if it's a buddy on another team, maybe you go and give them a handshake. But for me, I was just like, games, like, unless it was somebody I knew, like a friend on the other team, man, the game's over. It's time to go home. So, you know, I'll see y'all next time.
And did you feel how bad did you feel after losses? Like, were they crushing? Fans like to know. Like, are you crushed after losses? Or is it like, hey, I put in my day of work and I'm whatever. Like, what was your, or were you euphoric after wins? What was your feeling?
I was I was in a much worse mood when we lost than in a good mood when we won. Like, I absolutely hate to lose at anything. And I've always been that way. And so losing bothers me a lot. I'm not, especially if I lost, I was definitely straight to the locker room. Even if it was friends on another team, because I didn't react well to that. So, I wasn't one of those guys who kind of, you know, losses roll off your back or whatever. It really affected me in a negative way, you know, pretty much all week until we got a chance to go out there and play again.
And did you care just as much about losses in the NFL as you did at college?
Yeah. See, the thing is, you got to understand it's a different situation in the pros because you lose enough games, you might not have a job, right? I wasn't one of those guys who had job security anyway. So for me, you know, losing wasn't just about, okay, we lost the game. All right, we lose enough games, our head coach might get fired, somebody else might come in here and decide I'm not good enough. you know, they might feel like, well, we're not winning anyway, and I'm not the starter, so might as well, you know, bring somebody up from practice squad. So for me, it had a lot of ramifications when we lost the game. So, nah, I definitely took it just as bad, maybe worse at times in the pros than I did in college.
All right, last question along these lines. How did you feel about the guys lined up across from you? Did you hate them? Did you respect them? Did you you were an end mostly, right? Were you lined up against tackles and guards, mostly tackles? Or
Mostly offensive tackles.
Yeah.
I didn't really – and I wasn't one of those guys like, you know, the movie football player who psychs himself out right. And, you know, I'm going to kill this guy. You know, that sounds good and it looks good in the movie. But they were just impediments to me. That's the way I looked at them. Like, these are the people trying to keep me from making plays. So I respected them. I tried to learn as much about them as I could, what they did well, what they didn't do well, so I could exploit it. But they was more so just, you know, impediments to me making plays and therefore getting paid. So that's the only way I looked at, like, you know, the offensive tackle across from me was just like, how do I beat this guy? It wasn't like, I'm going to rip his head off.
Who was the best one you ever played? Who was the best tackle you played against?
Tony Boselli.
Really good?
He was a monster. He was – if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, man, that dude – I swore he had to be on something. I'm not trying to disparage him.
Right. Yeah,
that's
right.
Actually a compliment because – that dude was so strong. I mean, it was just amazing. And athletic to go with it. It's a shame that more people probably don't even remember him. But I'm telling you, he'd have been one, maybe the best offensive tackle that ever played the game if he never got hurt.
Anyone overrated? Who was overrated? Who wasn't as good as his reputation? Did anyone leap to mind?
I can't remember his name, but he was a dude. He played for, like, the Rams or whatever, and he kept having personal foul penalties and stuff like that. He ended up having a kind of a short career, had a back injury, and then after that, he started advocating for, like, medical marijuana and stuff like that. I can't remember his name right now, but, like, they used to gas him up so bad, mostly just because he would take cheap shots at guys. And when I played him after the game, I told him, you know, I was very disappointed. I was expecting a lot more from you.
Really? So how about Dirty? Who was Dirty? You never played.
They were all dirty. I mean, I don't know that there was anybody
they're
in
all
particular
dirty?
Who was more dirty than anybody else because they just, you know, that's one thing I did say. I felt like they were all dirty cheaters. You know, I want to hold, walls, you know, take out your legs. Yeah.
All right. I want to start with the biggest game of the week, and that, of course, would be Washington at Miami. First of all, Washington fired Gruden. Was that the right thing? It's such a mess up there. Like, it's firing. You got fired.
I don't know how he still had a job in the first place. I mean, the guy, you know, sometimes you look and you say, okay, you know, they're not winning, but you see signs of life or you see what they're trying to do, but maybe injuries got in the way. And, yeah, you know, they were planning on Colt McCoy maybe being a starter, but I don't really see that much difference between him and Case Keenum, to be honest with you, as a player. So I didn't see that as a big hindrance. But it just didn't look like they had a plan. And then, you know, it seemed like a coach who kind of was trying to call out his GM quite a bit. When you go back and look at it, you know, they brought Adrian Peterson back this year, but it was obvious that Gruden didn't like him and didn't want to play him. You know, they say that, you know, they drafted this rookie quarterback, Haskins, but now it comes out, you know, supposedly Gruden didn't really want him. So it just looked like maybe a house divided. Maybe, right. You know, he and the GM weren't getting along. But if you watch the film, man, it's just hard to understand what they were trying to get done on offense or defense.
San Francisco, obviously a big win Monday night. They play the Rams this week. I think we'll find out more about San Francisco going forward. But how good do you think they are?
I think they're pretty good. Now, one thing to watch, their starting right tackle is out. Excuse me. And, you know, a lot of times we look at teams and we don't realize they change every week because they have injuries every week, some guys in, some guys out. And so this is not the same 49ers team that played last year. Last week is not going to be the same team that plays this week because their right tackle's out. That makes a huge difference. So, you know, I think they are a very strong team. They're undefeated, obviously. Bosa, the rookie, first round pick, for, you know, number one overall pick, has looked fantastic lately. The defensive line is great as average, as advertised. They just got back Tevin Coleman, and he was supposed to be the starting running back. The guy that's been filling in for him has been playing fantastic. And they have a pretty good passing game with Garoppolo. So you look on the team, and you're trying to look for deficiencies. They don't really have many deficiencies on either side of the ball. So this is a strong team from top to bottom. The question will be how healthy can they stay throughout the year? Their defensive line, their second-team defensive line is as good as a lot of teams' first-team defensive line, and it's stacked with first-round picks. So they can weather some injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but I would be I would pay a lot of attention to their offensive line now with their right tackle out, because I think that could make a big difference for them. He was a really good player.
And one of the interesting things this year, really, has been the quarterback injuries and all the shuffling at quarterbacks. And you've got guys who have been – I mean, Teddy Bridgewater has kept the Saints winning. Kyle Allen, obviously, has done great with Carolina. Gardner Minshew has done great with Jacksonville. Daniel Jones has been better than people expected. And then you got Dwayne Haskins, who's not even playing. Any of those guys particularly strike you one way or another? Obviously, the Teddy Bridgewater story is just a great story. The fact that he came back from that injury that he came back from, and Drew Brees will come back ultimately. But we have some quarterbacks who are flourishing, who people didn't expect. Your thoughts?
Well, I think really this kind of goes back to the point about Gruden. What you're seeing with these quarterbacks that are having success, that have stepped in, is coaching. Kyle Allen has played okay. Don't get me wrong. He hasn't played poorly, but he turned the ball over several times against the Texans. But who they have is Christian McCaffrey. Right. He's touched the ball over 50% of the time since Cam Newton has been out. That is crazy. For a running back, 50% of the time. So he has been fantastic. I think he had over 230 yards of total offense last week. That's coaching. You look at the Saints. It hasn't just been Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater had his first good game last week. He's been okay before that, but they've been mixing it up on offense, feeding Kamara and leaning on the running game, so they don't have to rely so heavily on the quarterback. Gardner Minshew is maybe the most legit of the backup quarterbacks who has been playing, and he has been playing well, but they haven't necessarily had the team success as some of the other teams. They lost last week, even though they played pretty well. So it's all a product of coaching, and that's what Haskins hasn't had up in Washington right now.
You've got, speaking of two of them, you've got Bridgewater going against Minshew as New Orleans goes to Jacksonville. Your thoughts on that game?
Once again, I think it's going to be a coaching issue. So coaching, obviously, going to go with the Saints in a battle of, you know, head coaches between the Jacksonville Jaguars and New Orleans. So I think that both guys will probably play well, though. One thing about their game, what's his name? Jalen Ramsey may play in that game after missing two games with the trade flu, is what I'll call it. So he may be back in the game, and that's somebody who Teddy would definitely want to avoid. But last week, man, Teddy Bridgewater dropped some dimes. Now, he's playing the Bucs defense, and you know, they didn't look very good in the secondary at all. But regardless of who was out there on defense, some of those passes were right on the money, and they were downfield passes that everybody was saying, oh, he can't make downfield throws. He made several really nice throws in that game, and it looks like he's gaining confidence. So, you know, maybe he shouldn't have too much confidence when he sees Ramsey out there this weekend, but I think he's getting in a groove and kind of playing better. So, you know, I think they'll go ahead and roll over the Jaguars, but it should be an interesting game.
What do you make of Houston at Kansas City? Kansas City obviously no longer undefeated after they had the ball run down their throat, really, last week.
I think the one thing that you can guarantee is the highlight reel from that game is going to be mighty long.
Right.
You know, you got two of the most dynamic quarterbacks this game has ever seen. And last week, you know, Mahomes had somewhat of a poor game. He tweaked his ankle. He didn't really play poorly. He didn't turn the ball over or anything like that, but he didn't have the gaudy stats and those, you know, amazing throws that we're necessarily used to seeing from him. So he's going to look to bounce back. Deshaun Watson, man, what can you say about this kid? Last week, he lit up their defense. Will Fuller, you know, he's had a bunch of injuries since he's been in the pros, but he had like 4 touchdown catches, and he's super fast. So you got him on one side, Nuk Hopkins on the other. That's going to give any defense headaches. And then after the game, you got Deshaun Watson basically giving a master class on quarterback play and what he's seen in these different games and how the Texans are attacking different secondaries. That is a very interesting thing. You know, most coaches don't want the quarterback going out there and kind of giving away the game, the things that he's seen. But for the second week in a row after the game, Deshaun Watson basically broke down exactly what he was seeing and why he had so much success in that game. So, I mean, he obviously is playing on a different level right now, and his confidence is sky high. So I think this game, man, I don't really know who's going to win. Because right now the Chiefs, you know, they're kind of coming off a demoralizing loss in that they didn't play the way we expect them to play every week. Everybody kind of just expects Mahomes to go out there and throw 4 touchdowns every week. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. The Texans, man, their offense looks like a juggernaut right now. I think they scored like 50 points against the Falcons. So it should be a game full of highlights, and it's probably going to come right down to the end.
Okay, we'll begin where we started, which is Cleveland. Seattle at Cleveland. Russell Wilson, I don't think, gets enough credit. That guy is awesome. And they've rebuilt themselves. Seattle, it felt like sort of, you know, obviously they had to rebuild the entire defense, and here they are continuing to win. Thoughts on Seattle at Cleveland, and what do you think of Baker Mayfield's struggles?
Well, you know, I think they're going to be magnified just because of the way Baker has carried himself so far as a pro. You know, I said before, the one thing that kind of had me iffy about the Browns was I felt like they had a ton of talent, but, you know, just kind of the way Baker and the head coach carried themselves, almost this high school bravado, you know, talking trash about Daniel Jones, questioning other guys, questioning his own teammate this summer when he wanted a trade, the running back that wanted a trade. And it's just, you know, this kind of everything has to be us or them type mentality. Man, you're gonna be burnt out after your rookie season if you keep trying to make everything this huge, you know, slight against you. So I right now, it's fundamentals that's killing Baker Mayfield. He's setting up at 10 yards deep and not climbing the pocket. Look, I can get out there right now at my big age and get a sack if the quarterback's at 10 yards. You have to step up in the pocket or you're going to get your offensive tackle embarrassed play after play after play, because I don't care if you have a pro bowler, all pro out there, left tackle, they can't block somebody if your quarterback is sitting at 10, 11 yards and not climbing the pocket, getting up in the pocket and out of the way of the pass rushers. And until he does that, nothing else is going to matter, because he's always going to be scrambling around, running around with a chicken with his head cut off, when really all he has to do is take a couple steps up in the pocket, and then he'll have all the time in the world. He'll be able to hit all of these fantastic receivers and receiving options that they have put around him. Now, right now, their best option is running the football. What's his name? Nick Chubb? That dude is fantastic. You know, he's breaking these big runs. He's a solid dude, so he's also breaking a lot of tackles. To me, what the Browns need to do right now to settle Baker Mayfield down a little bit, rely on that running game. Just keep pounding the football. Get the defenses to react, and then you have easier and better throws for Baker Mayfield to make. Get him some confidence. Get him back on his fundamentals, not setting up too deep. Getting up, climbing the pocket if he has time, and stop running around so much. That's really the biggest thing. It's funny, you know, I don't think he's a one-read quarterback. I think he scans the field just fine. I think his problem is he keeps putting himself in harm's way, and then he's, you know, so startled by the fact that, once again, he's having to run away from the defensive end because he's set back too deep. that he never gets to go through those progressions and get to the third or fourth read and make a good throw. Once he has time, once he figures all that out, I think he'll be fine. Who's going to get him to do that? That's where coaching comes in, and that's where I still have question marks with the head coach for the Browns.
That's our theme of the day. Steve, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is the great Steve White. We are going to take a break, come back with the one story you've been waiting for. I have an audio clip I want you to hear, embarrassing moment for the NBA. And also, NFL numbers are just crazy, absolutely crazy. I'll get to that as well. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hannah Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want, and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 11/21/19. Restrictions apply, new business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
If you've been in a car crash or suffered an injury, this could be the most important message you'll ever hear. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Almost always, the person refusing to pay you is not the person who caused the injury. It's their insurance company, State Farm, Geico, Allstate, and the like. They make billions and billions of dollars by keeping as much money as they can in their own pockets. Big companies with the deepest pockets and an army of lawyers, literally thousands. But at Morgan & Morgan, we too have an army of lawyers. And you know what else? Many of our lawyers came from the same insurance companies we now fight against. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, our army will fight like hell for you. Just dial #law on your cell phone. That's #529. #law, that's all. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. As the autumn temperatures get cooler, here are some simple things you can do to help out the environment. Remove any window air conditioners and check window and door seals for proper insulation to keep heat in and cold air out. Rake up fallen leaves instead of using a leaf blower, and be sure that your furnace is clean to keep it running at peak efficiency all winter long. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
This is happening. Our busy company's buzzing like the hornet's nest in the tree outside. Then Tina walks in.
We've got a projections problem, Brian. Management's given us crazy numbers to hit and not enough crew to handle it.
I spring into action like a human hornet and jump on Upwork. I book a team of remote freelance pros, each ready to start immediately. And those projections, with Upwork, this is happening. Hey, Tina, want to get lunch?
Thanks, but there's hornets outside.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Come home to Chapel Cove with today's Perks Deal. Half off two tickets to the 2019 Vesta Home Show in the Chapel Cove subdivision in Germantown. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get the one story we've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Yeah, I changed my plan. I'm not playing any of this NBA clip because a couple things I did want to mention. One is I read more of this report on the women's basketball. It goes into Title IX issues, too. It says there's a strong sense among the head and assistant women's basketball coaches, the athletic department is not committed to the women's basketball program. This is manifested most directly in a comparison to men's basketball at almost every level, from facilities to staffing to amenities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are lots of recommendations about what they need to do. And it's pretty clear, honestly. You build the Lori Walton Family Center for the men's team, and there is a huge disparity in resources. And they also recommend that they hire a coach, executive coach mentor for the for Melissa McFerrin. It's strongly recommended that an executive coach be engaged to serve as a confidential mentor and advisor for the head coach beginning as soon as possible. Should be someone who has been a head coach of a Division I program, etc. I'll be honest, if it weren't for a lot of the issues here, she's been head coach for 11 years and has never made the tournament.
Yep. And it's not trending in the right direction.
If it weren't, well, she has better players this year.
Actually. She does have a better
recruiting class this year. So, if this were men's basketball, she would have been fired long ago.
Yes.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that the lack of interest in support is manifested in the fact that she still has her job.
Yeah. I think it's a very fair way of pointing it out.
Right? So there you go. The other thing I want to say is the Hall of Fame inductions tonight. I am MC at the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame induction tonight. Keith Lee will be there.
It is pretty dope.
Keith Lee, who really doesn't
show up too much.
Someone said, "Do you need some tickets?" He agreed to come. He's asking for 60 tickets.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
So I'll be there. You can get tickets tonight as well. It's at AutoZone Park for the induction ceremony. All right, we got to get out of here. Oh, you got to tell them what's coming up.
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They are going to have Anthony Miller join their program at noon today. Jeff, of course, will join them at 1:25. Blake Topmeyer joins us to talk Tennessee football 2:25 on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Jay Billis will be with GP at 4:25, Jeff at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're listening at the top of each and every hour for your chance to win $1,000.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back here tomorrow. Our work here is done.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Wonderful product. I've lost 111 pounds using that product. 111 pounds. You could not believe the difference. I went from a size 48 pant to a 33 pant. and I've maintained that now for over almost a year now. Yeah, absolutely. Andro 400 has helped me lose 111 pounds, and I've maintained my weight for almost a year now.
Thanks, James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400, the most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strength and muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
Don't be left standing outside this season. Visit the Sportsbook Lounge at Samstown. Take a seat, take a sip, and win big. You won't miss out on any game action at Samstown Tunica. Must be 21 or older. Other restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696. FedEx employees, have you heard? There's a financial institution just for you. FedEx Employees Credit Association. Join today to get bigger returns and competitive rates on savings, checking, loans, investing, with less and lower fees all around. Visit FECCA.com to apply.
Tennessee has never been a stranger to progress, and with all the changes going on, people want an affordable way to protect their families, which is why so many Tennesseans trust us. At Farm Bureau Health Plans, help.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.